Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now another episode of Ask a Native New Yorker with the co-founder of Gothamist, Jake Dobkin, who writes the Ask a Native New Yorker column there and has a book of the same name coming out next Tuesday. Today, Jake answers a question and will invite your stories on a very Native New Yorker topic, considering the cost of housing around here, roommates. Now, think about being a young transplant or even a Native New Yorker. You never experienced roommates other than your siblings growing up at home, if you had siblings and shared a room, and then poof, you're 22 and out in the world in your entry-level job, and all you can afford to do is live with a stranger, which can be really bad, or live with a friend, which might be better, or it might be worse. Hi, Jake. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And the actual question you got was about a roommate who was a friend, but the friend from hell. So who asked you what?
Well, this guy moves in with a friend from college who, as you said, turns out to be a roommate from hell. He never cleans up. He monopolizes the TV. His girlfriend's over every night. They keep him up all night making noise. And the roommate will not take a hint. So the question is, how can the good roommate improve the situation?
So listeners, let's crowdsource the answer to this question, because we know it's not just this one person who has this issue, right? Tell us your roommate from hell story. It can be very recent or it can be from years ago, and how you handled him or her successfully or not. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Tell us your New York roommate from hell story. Also, as we'll hear, Jake recommends having a written contract in testy roommate situations. Has anyone listening right now ever had a behavior contract with a roommate? And of course, since this is Ask a Native New Yorker, and in the spirit of Ask a Native New Yorker, we would love to hear from people who grew up here and people who moved here and wound up with bad roommates. We'll see if your Native and transplant experiences were any different in any ways. 212-433-WNYC with your roommate stories, 212-433-9692, or your questions for Jake, since his column in his book is Ask a Native New Yorker. So Jake, while the calls are coming in, I do see that part of your Native New Yorker's advice was, don't be passive aggressive, be aggressive aggressive. What does that mean?
Basically, it means you just got to get it all out. Don't let it fester. I mean, too many people make this mistake of just like, you know, the loud, exasperated sighs and the rolling the eyes and the silently marching off to their room, which is, you know, not a good idea. Like, instead of writing to say, you know, like a sarcastic advice columnist, you know, what you want to do is march right up to the roommate and just like lay it all on the line, you know, and like basically explain all relationships rest on this like essential reciprocity. And you got to then like list all of the ways they've violated this like basic human fairness. And so there can be no confusion about what's going on.
And you were suggesting an actual written list of grievances in some cases?
Yeah, I mean, some people are going to want to like get organized, write it down on paper. But I mean, I think like generally, as long as you talk about the grievances, what you really want to do is like write down the solutions, you know, calmly discuss the answers to your problems, agree on some solutions, and then write them down in, you know, what we'll call a roommate contract. Like, you know, the dishes will be washed every day or every other day. Each roommate gets to have a visitor, say, two nights a week, but no more. Like that kind of stuff you just want to write down in a list.
And you suggested going so far as to have both of you sign a written contract. Do you know people who have actually done that?
I do. I know people who have like signed it, you know, and then actually like hung it up like a ketubah, you know, like a Jewish wedding contract on the wall so that they can point and refer to it instead of getting into like crazy fights, you know, back and forth. You can just say like, as we agreed, look at the contract. I mean, it's like a sacred pact.
And after that, can you expect the roommate from hell to see the light and change their ways?
I mean, like, let's put it this way. If they can't get their act together after you put in all this effort, you know, and we're so mature, like, you guys should not be living together. You just got to, like, chalk that up to life experience. Start looking for another roommate. And, like, before you move in with them, check their references.
let's say you're the stable, considerate, mature one, and that's objectively true. Will your roommate from hell recognize that and keep the conversation on topic about how they're so bad to you when you confront them?
I mean, I think like this, in this and all of your life conflicts, you want to give concrete examples, like how they refuse to clean up the dishes is attracting the vermin, and then you caught the hantavirus from the vermin. That's being specific instead of, you know, making some generalization about their character, like you're a slob, you know, that's just going to upset them. So if you stick to the concrete examples, you should be able to reach a mature resolution of your problem.
We're getting a caller from Park Slope, and I better say uh-oh before I put him on. Michael in Park Slope,
oh,
you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Oh, man. Hey, how are you, Brian? Good Thursday to you.
And to you. You know Jake, apparently.
Yeah. So I was Jake's stable, considerate, mature roommate back when we lived together in a slum in the Lower East Side in 1999. And, during that time, you know, I'm really happy to hear that Jake is kind of coming around, you know, to this, communication that, would be great. I wish we had the, you know, roommate contract ketubah on the fridge that said, hey, you know, it's your turn to take out the 10-pound dead rats under the sink. And, hey, it's not okay to drink, you know, my 64 ounces of apple juice without replacing it. And, you know, hey, it's not okay to, you know, catch marker tags and, you know, put up crazy wheat pastes of your face blown up 3 feet high, you know, stapled onto my door. I think, you know, things like that, you know, this roommate ketubah would have been super helpful back then, but, you know, super happy to hear, you know, that, you know, Jake's kind of coming around, and, you know, this is a great thing for all New Yorkers.
Michael, thank you very much.
All native New Yorker advice comes from a place of great suffering. And, like, as you can tell from Mike's account, like, you know, our year or two living together produced quite a bit of suffering on both sides. But, you know, we recovered, and after, like, 20 years of therapy, we are now once again friends.
Apple juice under the bridge. Michael, thank you. Todd in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Todd.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you. I'm a private investigator, and I've been involved in these situations, and I feel bad for the people who don't know what they're doing when they rent the room out. The bottom line is the person in that apartment who has your room, he has much, much more rights than you. Number one, you put an agreement together regarding, you know, doing this and that, and have him look it over and see if he agrees, and then you have him sign it. But if it gets ugly, you have to get him out within 30 days. And if you don't, then the court's the only option. And that could take months, and it costs you a lot of money, and there will be a lot of drama. Trust me on that. So if it's less than 30 days, all you need to do is to call a local PD, let them come, and ask them to evict them, to ask them to leave. You don't do it. And you have to have proof that he's there less than 30 days. Some of these cases turn into real bad situations where the roommate will call your job, he will call neighbors, and he would badmouth you. You need to do extensive reference checking, okay? You want to make sure he has a good reference with work, he's going to continue to pay, and check out his people that he was staying with before. Yeah. And there are service landlords with big buildings do this all the time.
Todd, I'm gonna leave it there for time. Thank you very much. That is about the most, you know, serious end of the horrible roommate scenario that you can think of, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, this is a really good reason why you want to write things down and why, like, it's very important that all the roommates be on the lease, right? Because if you do end up with a problem, you know, often, like, one roommate, if they're not on the lease, will just, like, leave, and then all the other roommates are on the hook for the rent. Or if you do get into, like, a conflict with your landlord, which, of course, happens all the time here in New York, you want to have, like, a written contract with your name on it so that, like, you know, you can defend your rights.
And I see that beyond the roommate from hell scenario in this Ask a Native New Yorker piece, you have some other having a roommate tips. And one of them is to make sure that everybody's on the lease. Also, one that inexperienced apartment hunters might overlook, find apartments with good layouts.
Yeah, the best layout, of course, is going to be in like a pre-war building with super thick walls on a high floor so you don't hear the traffic, and with bedrooms on opposite ends of the apartment. Of course, that's probably going to cost you like $5,000 a month, so you might just be better off buying some like nice earplugs, shoving them deep into your ears and, you know, praying.
That's an interesting thing. It didn't occur to me. Looking for, like, if you're in a two-bedroom apartment, that the two bedrooms are not right next to each other at the end of the same hall, but maybe they're separated by the kitchen or something like that.
Yeah, you know, in some ways, railroad apartments actually can be good for this reason because the rooms can be on opposite ends. But, you know, I mean, there are a lot of different layouts in New York that can work. And, I mean, on the upside of having a roommate is it does save you so much money because you're splitting the rent. And so sometimes, like, when you're having these terrible situations, it's good to, like, meditate on all the things that having a roommate gets you, like cheaper living in New York. It fights off, like, the crippling loneliness of, like, being new here. It's good for the environment. I mean, there are all sorts of good things about having roommates.
Josh in Astoria has a story. Josh, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Oh, hi. Good to talk to you guys. I like both of your work. You
Thank
do
you.
Good work, guys.
Thank you.
So I had a roommate about 10 years ago in Astoria, and he was a friend from college, and he moved into my place, and he was a pretty severe alcoholic. He would get drunk and pass out on the couch in his boxers and leave his music on at full volume while I was trying to go to bed, and I would have to go into his bedroom and turn it off, which is no fun. But the worst part about this was I was out at a Phish concert at Jones Beach many years ago, and I came home. It was like 1 in the morning, and he had left a big pot of spaghetti on the burner on the stove, and it was on fire. And he was drunk and passed out on the couch, and I had to put the fire out while he was asleep. So that was that.
Oh my
gosh! And yeah. I hope you had renter's insurance.
I do now. I do now. Yeah, my girlfriend, now wife, moved in, and we got renter's insurance many years later. But we didn't at the time.
Josh, thank you for your story. And that's another one of your tips that you've put in writing, is to get renter's insurance, which is not required by law. Like, I think homeowner's insurance is for a homeowner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, for renters, it's super cheap. It's like $20 a month for $50,000 worth of protection, which will pay for all of your stuff when, you know, your apartment burns down. And this actually happened to people that I know. I mean, it's bad enough that, like, you're, you know, running for your lives, but, like, you know, the idea that, like, all your stuff could just, like, you know, disappear, it was very upsetting. And, you know, after that happens, you're going to wish that you had paid that $20 a month.
I don't want to say for sure about homeowner's insurance being required. I'm not really sure that that's the case. It might be required in co-ops, something like that, in order, or individual co-ops. But anyway, sometimes it's required. Last thing from your list, I see that you have this tip to avoid the five-bedroom, five-roommate house.
Yeah, I mean, that's just math. Like, given the high percentage of New Yorkers who are weirdos, the more people you live with, the higher the chances are that you're going to have a difficult roommate. And then you've got to also deal with the, you know, constant cycling in and out of people. That's chaos that you do not need in your life.
So your book, Ask a Native New Yorker, comes out next Tuesday? What else is in it besides the Ask a Native New Yorker roommate story?
It covers basically all of your problems from birth to death as, like, a native New Yorker or as, like, somebody who moves here. I think, like, it'll really help people navigate this very complex, very challenging, but very wonderful city that we live in.
Jake Dobkin is the co-founder of Gothamist, writes the Ask a Native New Yorker column there, and now, as of next Tuesday, has the book of the same name. Jake, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.